Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Pastor Katerere, good afternoon to you, sir.
Good afternoon, my brother. I hope you are well today.
Very well, thank you. How about you?
No, I am doing well. I'm doing well, getting ready for the Sabbath.
Ah, indeed. Happy Preparation Day to you.
Thank you, sir.
Now, we're going to be wrapping up our conversation that we started early this week, talking about free will versus predestination. Malachi 1, verse 1 to 3 says, "The word of the Lord to Israel through Malachi, I have loved you, says the Lord, but you say, how have you loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, says the Lord, yet I loved Jacob, but hated Esau. I made his mountains a waste, his heritage a desert for jackals." And then Romans 9:13 quotes part of this passage, "As it is written, I loved Jacob, but I hated Esau." Now, is it true, Pastor, that God hated Esau? What is the correct interpretation of this scripture?
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Now, just like we have been discussing the whole week, this is also a battle between context, understanding the word of God, divine election, and predestination.
Mm-hmm.
I think those are the four main aspects that are part of this. If we start by looking at Malachi, I always want to look at them separately, the Malachi one and the Romans one. So if we look at the Malachi one,
mm-hmm.
God is speaking to the Israelites through the prophet Malachi here.
Right.
He's actually reminding them of his love and his faithfulness. If you are to read that whole chapter, no matter how much they doubt that, but God is reminding them that. Then we see now also historically Jacob and Esau, these are twin brothers. They are the sons of Rebekah, and Jacob became the father of the 12. So he seems to be the one more favored, while Esau, his descendants, they became the nation of Edom. Now, if you read Malachi chapter, the Malachi narrative, it mentions Edom.
Yep.
It mentions Edom when it speaks of this election or of this God hating one and loving the other.
Mm.
I want to call this covenantal language, the language of the covenant, love and the hate. So instead of us just understanding them the same way we understand love and hate today, in biblical terms, love can mean to choose or to prefer, while hate can also mean to reject or not to choose. So when we say God loved Jacob and he hated Esau, it may refer to God's sovereign choice to establish his covenant through Jacob and his descendants rather than through Esau. If we read, for those who love reading, if you read the book of Obadiah, it's a very short book. If you read the book of Obadiah, it's a prophetic book, actually, and is directed against Edom. It condemns them for their violence, for their treachery.
Mm.
It speaks a lot against Edom.
Yep.
So the prophet Obadiah foretells Edom's downfall and destruction as well because of what they were doing. So God's sovereignty in choosing who he wills to carry out his purposes is what is being seen when the Bible says, "Jacob I've loved and Esau I've hated." So this choice was not based on their works, but God's purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So I look at it more of God's election,
where
God chooses or elects someone for a particular purpose.
Mm.
We see even Noah's time. The Bible does not just say Noah was so good that. No, it says he found grace, he found favor. So God also, we can also look at it as God picking him up, but also. Love and hate, they're also relative terms. They're also relative terms because Jesus himself, he used similar language when he said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, he cannot be my disciple." So the question is, when Jesus was saying, "If you can't hate your parents, you can't be my disciple," does it then overlook the commandment that says, "Honor your father and your mother"? So we need to understand the context of this, because it does not mean literal hate, but a comparison. It indicates priority or preference. So God preferred this one to the other. So in the case of Jacob and Esau, it simply means that God chose Jacob for a specific purpose and role, not that he literally hated Esau in the way we typically maybe would understand that word.
Yeah.
So if God hates, actually, if God hates you, you don't survive. If God hates you, you die. Mm. So if we take it in that literal sense. So that's how I would look at this. From my perspective, that's how the Bible was trying to bring or the context of these two passages.
So it's not hate in the sense of the word hate, as it were.
Yes, yes, yes. It's not hate in the sense of the word, as it were. It is rather preference.
Mm. It's going to be a difficult one, Pastor, because, you know, there are seven things that the Lord hates. The Lord hates a lying tongue.
The
hands that hurry up to do evil. And the list goes on up until the seventh one. So can we then say, well, actually, it could mean that the Lord does not prefer those people?
So I would want to say, as one of the ways to interpret the word of God, we should always stay true to context. We should always stay true to context.
Okay.
So we have the immediate context, and we have the broader context.
Ah,
so when we
okay.
so when we look when we look at Malachi chapter one, when we look at Malachi chapter one, before we can look anywhere else, it is key for us to look at Malachi chapter one as Malachi chapter one.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to read it again in your hearing.
Okay.
From verse 1, it says, a prophecy, the word of the Lord to Israel through Malachi. I have loved you, says the Lord. But you ask, how have you loved you us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, declares the Lord. Yet I have loved Jacob, but Esau I have hated. And I have turned his hill country into a wasteland, and left his inheritance to the desert jackals. Edom may say, now, Edom, they are descendants of Esau.
Mm.
Edom, they are descendants of Esau. Edom may say, though we have been crushed, we will rebuild the ruins. But this is what the Lord Almighty says. They may build, but I'll demolish. They will be called the wicked land, a people away under the wrath of God. Now, in other words here, one thing that I am seeing, God is not dealing with individuals per se, but he's dealing with two peoples. He's dealing with the Israelites. He's dealing with the children of Israel, and he's dealing with the Edomites. So when he is speaking within the context, Jacob I have hated, and Jacob I have loved, and Esau I have hated. Let us look at it from the context of Edom versus Israel. Let us look at it between evil versus good. Let us look at it from that broader context. That is where it is coming from. But as well, we know that God's election, or rather God's predestination that we're discussing through the whole week, God has foreknowledge of what will happen tomorrow, before even tomorrow happens.
Mm.
It's unfortunate that the Bible follows a particular salvific line. So we don't have the day-to-day dealings of Esau, how he fed and everything. We do have the one for Jacob, because that's where the salvific line is particularly following.
Yeah.
But when you are to look at Jacob, yes, you can see grace. You can see God following him all the way. He falters, but he stands up. He comes back to God. He is a cheat. True. It is very true. He is a cheat. We see one or two, three things. Mm. He actually has rushed ahead of God,
mm-hmm,
when God had a way that he wanted him to be on top. So this whole thing, instead of us looking at it as a hate and love, as it were,
mm,
each passage as it comes, let us look at it within the context of what it is saying, and possibly even read the whole chapter.
Mm, 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 mm. Now, so I see this is a case of really a preference, as you said earlier. He preferred Jacob. Now, this also now sounds as though, you know, God has favorites, because he would then have favored Jacob, you know, because it would be his favorite. Now, I don't know if God still takes that view when dealing with humanity today. I mean, for instance, he clearly says David, a man after my own heart. Clearly there he favors David, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Now, do you think it happens today that Pastor Katerere would be the favorite and the other one would not so much be a favorite?
Well, I don't know others. I think that I'm God's favorite, but I don't know. I don't know about our other listeners.
I thought it's me only.
I've seen the hand of God. I can speak for myself.
Oh, I thought I'm the only one.
I've seen what he has done for me. So I'm actually God's favorite son.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not too sure if he has other daughters and sons out there, but I can attest. For myself, but maybe if we look at it from a broader perspective as well, if God still has favorites, if we are to put it this way. Now, John chapter 1, verse 12, we are now in a new dispensation, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
John chapter 1, verse 12, it says, to all those who gladly received them, he gave them power to be called his sons. Now, it simply means that for those who have accepted Jesus Christ as his personal, as their personal savior, they are no longer outcasts, but they are more of brothers and sisters with Jesus Christ, and becomes the total sons and daughters of God. And he is not, scripture has always proven to us that he is not a God who would forget his sons, who forget his daughters. So just the fact that we've been ushered into this dispensation and accepted Christ as our personal savior, it means we are all favorites.
Mm.
But however, let me not just generalize it like that and say that within God's chosen people, we have accepted him, there are some he has elected for specific purposes. The ones that he has elected for specific things. Some of them he has elected them to be pastors. Some of them to be, well, many different kinds of things out there, but for a holy purpose. And they fulfill those things in Christ Jesus. But the idea is Christ has loved us all. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says, God commended his love towards us. Us, that's plural. Mm. That while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So in other words, if he has died for us and we have claimed that blessing of kinship, of being his son and his brother, then we are on the right side. We can stand up boldly and say, I am God's favorite son. I'm God's favorite daughter because of that election.
Yep. Now, with everything that we've learned about free will and predestination this week, how are we to apply this to our day-to-day lives and our relationship with God?
The first thing that I would want to maybe say to our listeners is God forgave us in the times of not knowing. But now that we know his ways and how things should be done, we need to follow his commands. We need to follow what he says. I've had brothers and sisters who have said to me, we now live under the grace dispensation. Therefore, there's no need for us to follow the law and do this and that. After all, God knows whom he has already chosen or not. But I want to say, if in the end one day you are caught driving at 160 kilometers per hour, and as you are being arrested, you plead for mercy and they forgive you and they say you can go, we've forgiven you. it does not mean that the speed limit no longer applies to you.
Mm.
It even applies to you even more. So now that we have been forgiven, it does not mean that grace no longer, it does not mean that we no longer need to follow the word of God. We need to follow the word of God, definitely. So when we look at predestination, when we look at free will, free will is a gift from God. He could have created us as robots, but he created us to be reasoning beings. Let us not abuse free will. Let us rather accept Christ as our personal savior, and we will know tomorrow when we are saved that truly we were within the will of God in everything we were doing.
Mm. Right. Now, Pastor, let's quickly, you know, wrap up our week. We've spoken much about all these two. What is it that you'd like to impress upon the listeners after all is said and done? You know, our food for thought.
Maybe I would want to say God's favor is about his grace. It's about his kindness.
Yeah.
It's about his blessings that have been extended to humanity, especially through the relationship that we have been offered through Jesus Christ. And as God extends that kindness, let us not abuse God's kindness. Let us not abuse God's grace and the blessings that God has bestowed upon us. Let us exercise free will, but let us exercise that free will within the confines of it. Thus says the Lord always. This favor that we are talking about is available to everyone who seeks a relationship with God. You can be a favorite son. You can be a favorite daughter of God. And let us continue reading the word of God. And I promise you that he will reward those who diligently seek him always.
Beautiful. Well, Pastor, thank you so much for joining us. It's been a fantastic week. You know, day in, day out, you've come in faithfully, and our listeners have been appreciating, you know, the time that you've spent with us. I do want to thank you so much. Appreciate your time and your presence. Blessings to you.
Thank you very much, and blessings to your listeners as well.
Blessings. Have a happy Sabbath ahead.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.